And welcome to another episode of the Matt Matan Show, and special edition today, a special episode, because I'm sitting down with not only my partner in a couple of businesses, but also my partner in life, and that is Michelle Sheeve. Hello.
Hello.
Now, we have interviewed each other, and we've done shows together and everything.
For years.
Yeah, for years. Long before we were a couple, as a matter of fact.
Right.
You know, so... hearing us together on the radio is not a new thing for a lot of people. I mean, it goes back years and years and years.
We're all just the way a pair of old shoes.
A couple of pair of old shoes, yes. And, you know, so what could there be to talk about that we haven't already talked about? And the reason I asked you to come on today is because I figured I would ask you in interview format the things that I get asked about or told about the most about you from other people and be able to have an insight from you in reaction.
Are you gossiping behind my back?
All the time, okay. Darling. It's Asheville. It's right. A pastime here.
I guess you so. Know,
but I get comments and questions all the time about you. And so instead of always just giving my answers, which I always do, I figured do an interview where we get to hear from you in relation to the things that people talk to me the most about you.
All right.
For people that aren't familiar with your resume, though, let's cover a little bit of that at the beginning. And so you are the owner of Slice of Life Comedy, which is one of the longest-running comedy companies here in Asheville and and around the state, actually. From what I've seen.
Probably.
Yep. Been doing that for a long time, producing shows at all kinds of venues. Your mainstay home, though, for many, many years is the Orange Peel.
Yes.
A nationally renowned venue here in Asheville, North Carolina, where we're based. And also, you are a longtime host of Slumber Party on Asheville FM 103.3, a variety community show here in Asheville. And just are you celebrating your 13th year? Right now? Is that right?
I am in my 13th year. I think officially for the show, that will be in October. And that means, well, I'll just say 2011. So the station started in 2009. I started with them in 2010. And then I started my show in 2011.
Very cool.
You do the math.
All right. Well, that's a long time. That's my math. It's
yeah,
a long time.
That's
one of the longest running shows on
that
the station.
That is so good for me, just a long time.
So that's two things in a row now that I've had the descriptor of longest running or one of the longest running things. So the next thing I want to bring up is, you know, you being a media personality in Western North Carolina, you had the Asheville Disclaimer, which you founded, which was a satire newspaper, and now we're going way back.
Way back.
We're going, what?
That's OG.
Like early 2000s, I think.
Yes. I started conceptualizing and putting together the first issue in 2001. And then it was published in 2002.
And then we were doing stuff together by, I think, 2003 or 4.
Right.
On radio.
Right.
So, yeah. So we go back a long way. That's the theme. Long way. Long, long time.
Yes.
So you have a lot of relationships in the community and have had impact on a lot of people over all those years in different media formats, you know, in print, in radio, in person for live events and things. And so with that, you've kind of you've established a special place among the comedy community, the music scene, different avenues of people around the community.
Oh, go on.
I know. But along that whole entire ride, and this is one of the areas where I get talked to or asked about most from people, is you've had not one, not two, not five, not six, a lot of major serious medical challenges and setbacks in your life over the course of everything we just talked about.
My latest thing is just saying I'm just paper taped together. That's how I am going.
And so that's what people ask me about the most, or they comment on, is they're like,
and it's been
inspired.
Very public that my health issues, and I don't mind talking about them.
But a lot of people approach me completely awestruck, or inspired, or baffled at how you continue to overcome so many different medical obstacles and still be so engaged in the community in such a positive way. So that's what I wanted to spend today kind of digging into a little bit.
All right.
Where that strength or that resolve comes from, where that tenacity comes from, because it's what I get asked about or commented to about you more than anything else, just whether it's in the comedy lane, if it's in the broadcast lane, if it's, you know, whatever the lane is, in business too. You serve on the Western Women's Business Center Advisory Board, and you're an entrepreneur and all that. But where do you say that strength comes from for you to just keep pressing on and not just surviving, but really trying to have an impact where you output things into the community?
Thank you. You're going to make me cry.
Going to Barbara Wawa you.
You can't. That's my stepdad used to say that all the time because of the SNL skit did. And I think about it a lot. I think about that question, actually, very specifically, of keeping going with all my challenges and still engaging at the same time. And it's one of those things with, it's like a moving mark of where I am on any given day. But it really, I really do have a base philosophy that when you quit trying is when life ends. You know, like there's
right,
something to do.
Let's address that for a second, because there's been at least two times when your life did end over the course of that time, and they brought you back.
Yes, and you brought me back once, twice, a couple times.
I might
times.
Have scared some doctors to trying a little harder.
Yes, yeah, right.
No, but I mean, so it's not just something where you have, you know, been under the threat of dying, which has been a real existence for you for many years at different phases.
Yes.
But you actually have, you know, kind of crossed over a little bit, you know, tiptoed across the crosswalk a couple of times and came back.
Yes, I have.
How does that impact the way you look at things, too? Because that's not an experience that many people have, and you've had it twice.
I don't know if it's just the way my brain is, where I don't ruminate on things I've done. You know, I don't think about them a lot. I don't think about the things I've been through health-wise a lot unless they are rearing back up in some way, unless they're presenting themselves as another problem for me to solve, and then I get exhausted by it. But I don't carry it on my back other than that, when they show back up, when I have more issues that come up, then sometimes it all can collapse in. But for the most part, I just try, you know, I think about the moment and how I'm kind of just presenting in the moment. And it's just like doing this interview, like I'm doing this interview, I'm hanging out with you, we're talking, and I'm not thinking about my kidney transplant or being on dialysis or my brain surgery or the strokes I had or the seizures I have had
or the shattered femur,
the
and
shattered
crashing in the ER.
Yeah. I mean, like, it really goes on and on.
Yeah.
You know.
But
I don't carry that unless it comes up when I can't hear something. I think, oh, I'm half deaf. You know, when I can't do something, when I'm physically having problems, like walking without worrying I'm going to fall. Because I have these fainting spells from
the autonomic neuropathy.
Right.
Which, like, you've been public about.
I'm public about most things. There's some things I'm not too public about. But for most things, I don't mind sharing anything. And it, and I really do hope to help people. There are so many people that go through. So I've had so many medical issues now. I feel like I can relate to almost anyone. I'm a type 1 diabetic. I can relate to someone with, you know, who's diabetic. I have hearing issues, vision issues, all the things. And so it's just one more tool to, kind of bond with people and stuff.
Well, and so people see the public face of that. They see your, you know, amping up, focusing to do that export of whatever it is you're collaborating in,
right,
or creating, or
right,
producing, or anything.
Right.
What's the opposite side of that? Where, when you present and you build that momentum, where is sometimes the starting point before you have that public facing side? Because I think that's a
taking
that's
a shower, getting dressed. Wait, what?
No,
what
I mean, like, you
question?
Know, like from where. Where do you have to climb from sometimes to get to where you engage on those public things?
Whew. You know, many, many times I've had to, and I don't know if you meant mentally or physically.
Both.
But many times I have had to, I'm laying, I take things one step at a time, and I'm like, and literally, I just ask you a question, like, are you talking about getting dressed? Well, I am talking about getting dressed, because I have to do that incrementally sometimes. Sometimes it's a breeze, and sometimes it's really, I have to, like, I'm lying in bed because I'm so dizzy, and I have to think, okay, I've got to go get that shirt. And this is where that shirt is. And I've got to go get all these other things. I've got to go take a shower. That means walking in to the other room, into the bathroom. That means, you know, gathering my stuff. I, you know, different things like that, where people do things. And, you know, when you're young and healthy, you can do something in 10 minutes. But when you're navigating kind of through life, like I am with my issues, it takes me a lot longer, you know, it takes me a lot longer to put on a little bit of, you know, armor and normalcy to walk out into the world and be somewhat confident and remind myself who I used to be, you know, but I am this person now, and I'm not, you know, I made that decision that I'm just gonna be who I am, because that's all you got, you know.
Well, and let's separate that out a
okay.
little bit, who you are and you know, presenting yourself or anything like that, and separating out, you know, your physical body, and then how you feel and think inside, you know,
right.
your spirit,
sure.
your
yeah.
mental focus, those kind
yes.
of things.
Yes.
You know, it's something that, you know, I don't know if you've talked about publicly or not, but that battle between where your brain and your spirit still have the same kind of desires
yes.
and things
yeah.
you want to do, but the delivery mechanism, the physical movement and the
yeah.
capability, two different things.
It's
yeah.
hard. It's one of the hardest things. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine, Priya, who's in a wheelchair, and she's handicapable. She has been for a long time, and I had actually not seen her in a while. And she gave me a she has a sticker. I wish I had it in front of me, but it was about being disabled. And I started talking to her about that. I had this, you know, conversation about how, you know, showing your disabilities where you can't hide them. And with me, like I said, I try to paper tape myself together so I look reasonably like I'm okay, like everything's okay, you know. And And it's hard, but then again, I think everyone goes through an aging process. You know, it was really hard for me when I first started dialysis. Is when I physically started to change from looking in the mirror, no longer lined up with my mental picture of myself. And then I was sick for so long that when I looked into the mirror, it was so funny. I can't remember who told me this, but I know I laughed and I'm like, oh my God, where I'm like, I'm so, you know, I just look so awful and all this stuff, and I can't wait to get back. You know, I used to say that all the time. I can't wait to get back to my energy, to myself. And then I had someone say, well, maybe you're just old now to me. And that never left me, because I'm like, oh my God, it's been so many years. I am kind of old now. You know, I am not the young person I was, and I have to take that into consideration. But my brain never leaves. Like, I'm not going to say my age, but I never think of myself older. You know,
How do you approach? You used the phrase a couple of times there, yeah, about getting back. What's your, yeah, attitude about getting back in the context you used it?
Yeah, well, it used to be that I had a very particular image of myself. And then when I got sick and on dialysis, it changed my body. It puts fluid on you, lots of fluid on you. And everyone's different. But for me, it was really hard on my body in a lot of different ways. It really destroyed my body in a lot of different ways. And a lot of them were physical ways. And so I kept thinking, oh, well, this gets over when I find a kidney, when I, like, you know, I'll get back, kind of thing. And there is still a sort of back of health where I can go trail walking again without worrying, you know, like thinking, okay, I can actually have movement and spontaneity without feeling like I'm just going to damage myself worse in some way. And that's kind of my back now, which I think is a lot healthier than I used to project. But I also know that dream of getting back is what kept me going as well. It's one of the things.
I know that one of the ways that you dealt with the despair of taking a day to get ready to present publicly for 4 hours,
yes,
as you spoke about earlier in this conversation,
yeah, right,
when you weren't able to take, you weren't able to, in a day, you couldn't muster getting out for 4 hours. In,
right,
there was a period where it was like that. I know you leaned to art and creativity a lot. I mean, we have a whole collection of your art that we've talked about maybe doing a show,
God,
with. But you did collages that were kind of self-affirmations,
yeah,
and everything. Talk about the use of art. You made jewelry,
but the
yeah, collages too, and the messages within them are really powerful,
right,
in what you created.
Right.
And it was almost, it seems to,
well,
me, as someone,
you,
that's in your circle, that it was like a pep rally for yourself almost.
It was. That's exactly what it was. I was, you know, it was a very dark time, and to me, it's not art, it's a craft of, like, you know, you give your fourth grader, tear up this magazine, paste it down, you know, you can paint around it or do markers, whatever you want to with it. Everyone knows that. Every child knows that. Like, it's a way of expressing yourself with words that already printed, you know, and so I don't remember what the very specific impetus was. I guess it was in the time when COVID hit, and or even pre-COVID. I think it was pre-COVID.
Because you were kind of in pre-COVID lockdown before there was a COVID lockdown.
Because
of your own immune issues.
And I had gotten to where I was just kind of starting to accept that I wasn't going to get back. There was no getting back. And so I, Matt's looking at, he's waiting for me to cry. I'm not going to do it.
I've got tissues.
Shut
if you need them.
Up.
There you go. There's some tissues.
Stop it. But that's why I can't do this.
This is what comedy people do, by the way.
Yeah,
they laugh through
I'm
the pain.
Laughing. I'm laughing. I'm totally laughing. Yeah, so I did. I just thought I really need to have positive affirmations around me. I need to motivate myself to, and like you said, a cheerleader. I needed to be my own cheerleader for reminding myself that there are so many beautiful things in life, and it's a gift to be able to experience them. And you've got to get your head out of politics, and you've got to get your head out of your own issues, and sometimes just really get those messages, the positive ones, and talking to myself, you know, like
in
different
ways. And as you did more and more of these posts or collages, it covered, because you had a limited movement, a limited inside the house world
in that, you my know, bedroom
you know, and so your entire walls were covered with these as you continued to make them.
I would do these posters and just put on them images that I connected with, whether it was water or animals or, you know, beautiful women or food I liked. You know, just all the things that reminded me there are good things in life. You know, a boat or something that.
Well, you also when you had the capability and the energy and the ability to do that in a larger form, you actually did a painting mural that covers an entire wall family room before
that before I was sick.
But in looking at it now, because it still exists. It's still there.
It does. I can't get to it to paint over
but
it.
There's a lot of nature. There's animals. Yeah. But at the center of it is your daughter, Zoe.
Yes. Yeah.
And talk about motherhood and its role in that tenacity to somehow find a way to keep going through each chapter that you've been through.
Yeah, I think for me, having my daughter, it changed everything for me. I had a lot of my health issues that presented themselves around the time when I got pregnant, and people can find out, you know, like I 6 months pregnant, had her, she was a pound and a half. I had to go to San Francisco for brain surgery because they found out I had a very rare condition that was giving me strokes and seizures. So I had to go have that surgery. That surgery went really badly. So I had to stay longer. I came back to Asheville, had a major stroke when we landed, and I ended up in Mission Hospital for...
And you lost a lot of cognitive ability.
I did. I didn't know my alphabet. I didn't know how to multiply. You know, I had to get things back. Mm-hmm. And smack dab in all of that was being a new mom to a very small baby that I had no physical ability to even, that was in the NICU, and I had no real physical ability, you know. Before I went and had my surgery, I pumped all the milk I could, put it in the freezer, gave it to the NICU, so she was able to get that. But I never had the experiences of the bonding time, which I mourned. And then when I, you know, it was like she was a baby and I was recovering from these surgeries and just being kind of blown over. And I guess that's one of the things, you know, with my daughter that I just love her so much. And I wish that I hadn't had all these issues.
Do you feel like, you know, because there was question on whether she would make it or not.
Right.
And was it a thing where
yes.
you kind of developed an attitude of like, as long as she's making it, I'm going to make it?
Well,
because you also had medical people tell you you weren't going to see her
right.
grow up because of your health
issues. Right. Yes. Both of us did not, you know, at one point did not have good prognosis. And
by the way, that was over 16 years ago.
Yes. And my daughter is 16 yeah. now.
I'm taller than you and can no longer raid your closet because yes. she's outgrown your closet.
Well, she's a very sweet, smart individual, and I'm very thankful for her. And who she is today, I'm very thankful. And that is one of the things that I look at as her growing up in today's society, you know, and being a woman, and she's so different than I am in a lot of ways, but you know, being that protector and keep going. Yeah. So I don't know.
Do you think it's still that thing? As long as she's still going, I'm going.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I made a deal with the universe. My God, whatever's next, that as long as she's here, I will be here because I want to be her protector. I want to be here for her. And, I don't want to abandon her to my health. And I know I might not have a choice, but
let me bring it back where we started.
Okay.
Because in a different degree, on a different level, and everything, but also kind of the same, is the same feeling that so many people you're in contact with have about you that are not your biological kids, but are people in the comedy scene, are people in the music scene, everything. They feel that same kind of commitment and devotion to supporting them that you're articulating about your daughter. And, you know, and I know that there's times when you've felt that and you see that, but then other times it seems as, you know, as a person on the peripheral where it's kind of like, I don't want to deal with that. I can't, you know, I just want to keep, I love these people. I want to do what I can for them. But that same thing you just articulated about your daughter, as long as she's going, I want to keep going and be there for her. That's the feeling that you give to a lot of the people that come up to me and talk to me. Is that something that you are cognizant of, that you're aware of? And if so, how do you feel about that?
I don't know, honestly, because I, the people that I support, I definitely am a fangirl. You know, the people, the music I love, the comedy I love, just people who are out there doing amazing things that I love. That's one of the symptoms of having such health issues is that I tell people I love them and they're not like the way I love you, but then it is also like the way I love you in the sense that it's caring, you know, and it's real. I'm not throwing it out there, and I don't. And how they respond to it is their business, you know? But if I say, oh, my God, I love you, you're fantastic, or I'm shouting, I love you, it's because you've made an impact in my life, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for the beautiful people that I have in my life, you know, on all the levels.
All right, and you never had to grab the tissues.
I didn't.
And we're at the end
I'm
of the
sorry.
Time.
I disappointed you. Tried so hard.
Don't worry, she's going to be bawling as soon as we shut the mics off.
Yeah.
No. but thank you for everything that you do and for being so open and so vulnerable with people, because I think that's part of the reason why, you know, the things you do and the impact that they have is magnified. Because not because you say, oh, well, I did this because of this challenge. People, you don't have it be a precursor to you doing things, but people understand what you've overcome to do the things, even if you don't mention or talk about. But because they love you and because you've had such an impact on people's lives for so many years, they understand the struggles that you've gone through. And so to be able to now, when people come up and ask me about things, say, here's a link to the podcast. You can hear from Michelle herself, you know, about what she goes through and how she has navigated through these things. You know, I hope that it's helpful to them.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
So thank you. You're an inspiration and a very impactful person in our community. I've said that since long before we were a couple, and we've been a couple for over 8 years now, and it's only strengthened every year that has gone by.
Aww. So well, I love you.
And I love you too. And we love you all for listening, and thanks for tuning in. Be sure to visit bizradio.us, and you can click on shows to check out podcasts of this program and all the other great programs and conversations about life and about journeys. That's what that station is all about, so go check out some of the other shows there as well. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.